Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and once again, time for Twit's audience survey. We'd really like to hear from you. It's only going to take a couple of minutes, really. That's all. Just go to twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. Your anonymous feedback will help us make Twit even better. And thanks for your continued support.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday, until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. By ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. And by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/hamnation and enter promo code HAMNATION.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 287, February 15th, 2017. The Amazing Lee Family. Hey, good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night. It's 8 p.m. Central, and you are tuned in to twit.tv, or perhaps even the big, massive, throbbing Nashville shortwave blowtorch WTWW at 5085 and 12.105, 100,000 watts, all 50 states, half the world, huge signal into Africa right now, because this is Ham Nation. We have a huge show for you tonight. We have, we'll just go quick around the horn. We've got George over there in Jackson to my north. How you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing good, Don. I'll be back a little bit later. We're going to show a project that I'm working on. You might say it's not ham radio related, but actually it kind of is.
Very good. Well, I've got something I want to show real quick before we get to the rest of the guys. I got a little care package today from our friend Jim at Jim's Engraving. Of course, you know, you see the Jim's Engraving stuff behind our shoulders here. There's my A5DW sign. Everybody else has one. He sent me a glass. You can't see it because it's engraved. You can't see it because of the stuff, but I'll show you what's on the front of it. He sent a paperweight too, and this design is on the front of it. Look at that. Oh, my God. My wife said I should have been recording that when you opened those boxes because you were like a kid at Christmas. So, Jim, wow, that was unexpected and unwarranted, and I don't deserve it, but thank you so much anyway. So, Jim's Engraving, man, if you guys want one of these plaques like we've got, jimsengraving.com, so go check him out. He's a great supporter of Ham Nation and just a great friend. So, Jim, thank you so much. Amanda, what do you think about that? That's pretty nice, isn't it?
I'm amazed. That looks great. That's beautiful. Good job, Jim. And tonight we've got the Lee family joining us. We got James, Michelle, Grace, Faith, Hannah, Hope, and Zachariah. So stay tuned.
It's going to be a huge show. Thank you, Amanda. And your hearts look lovely tonight. Very nice. Very jiggly. I like jiggly. Jiggly's good for me. Gordon, how are you tonight over there on the West Coast?
We are fine. We're getting ready for a huge, huge cyclone that's coming ashore. And Jim's Engraving, everybody wanted to know at Hamcation, where did I get that? And I said, jimsengraving.com. Back to you, Don.
That's exactly right. He's a good guy, great friend of the show. Why don't you go ahead and get into your short shots, and then we'll toss over to Amanda and get right into the Lee family. You're going to love these kids. Absolutely going to love them. So, Gordon, take it away.
All right, and hi to George. You know, George is out there, too. Hi, George. Okay, here we go. Brian, if you'll go ahead and roll from Don Arnold, W6GPS, from Orlando. Don?
Hi, I'm Chris, KD8YVJ, and welcome to the Orlando Hamcation.
Let's go! Yeah.
All right! Winning numbers. Hey, hi, Donnie, and all your viewers. Gordo here, WB6NOA. We're at Orlando Hamcation, and this is Saturday. And as you can see, it is packed.
Hi, Ramon.
Nice to see you.
Very popular man.
It's when you're trying to...
I'm folks that they need to figure out a way to...
How much are these individuals? They're what, $4?
Wasn't anywhere right over here.
And as you can see, it was a shorts weather, and it was warm, but it was not hot. And there we go. More great engraved products. Well, we had my Ham University for instructors. Instructor University, the Instructor Academy was a hit. And that was a Kenwood D-74, not the 70. Oh, it's a D-74 that Don Arnold was showing. And in the Kenwood booth. The 72 is the one I have now. The 74s have brand new color. They had tea hunts, and the tea hunts were going on just about everywhere. They had huge outside exhibits, and they had a lot of outside operating stations and kids. Amanda will tell you more about the great kids operating the stations. So plenty of PM.
Whiskey Kilo 1 Delta Sierra, CQ Orlando
Hamcation,
and standing by.
And they had a logbook absolutely filled.
My name is Robert Feeney. I'm the president of the Florida chapter of the Morse Telegraph Club. So this is set up like a telegraph office would be in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And it basically shows the development of landline telegraphy and what an office would have in it and how the equipment operated using the American Morse code. The instruments here, some are original and some are replica. This is an early bug here and a hand key. The bug was developed to solve operator's paralysis. Today we call it carpal tunnel syndrome. And it allowed the operator to rest his wrist on the desk and operate.
All right, what do we got over here?
This is a resonator box. It's a wooden box that would amplify the signal. The Prince Albert tobacco can was commonly used by operators. It amplified the signal, and it also changed the pitch of the particular instrument. In a busy office, you might have four or five sounders all rattling away at one time. By putting the tobacco can behind the one you wish to listen to, it allowed you to pick that out.
Things are really coming together at Hamvention for this year. We plan to have everything up online within the next week or so. And we ask everybody to bear with us because it's going to be a five-star event. We're all excited about it. And the team is working together, 600 volunteers. And we're ready to go, excited about it, five-star event. We've got people working on the traffic flow, professional engineers doing that. We have, we're going to have seven different maps depending on where you're at in Hamvention. 104 acres, free parking, on site, and that's included in the ticket, which is $22. And the booth prices remain the same from last year to this year. This will all be the flea market area, and we really don't want people to be concerned about, you know, it's going to be a muddy mess. This is well-drained. We're already beginning the rolling process, so it'll be smooth. And it will hold as many people in there as it does at Hera. These are this area here.
This
is,
you know,
some of the main area where the exhibits will be, and you'll be able to see that online even better. This parking back here is for all of our vendors with trucks and trailers and things like that, that they'll be able to easily go out, get supplied, and restocked. This area here, this is a camping area, and there's camping area here. If you want camping, you need to contact the Expo Center in Greene County Expo Center. Ask for Esther, and she has some spots available. This area here will be, this is a paved asphalt area, and you see cars there. There won't be cars there, but what we will have in there are tents that we're putting up. We have a lot of food, beautiful food wagons coming in, and it'll be great. And this is, we'll have scoot around. We'll be up here, so it'll be people will be able to get that quickly and get inside. And this is all parking, all well-drained parking. I mean, what Ham mentioned does, it'll bring out that inner geek. You can't miss it. This is the first one at our third location. You got to be there. It'll be a five-star event. If you're not there, you're going to regret it. So begin to make this your new destination for Hamvention. Thank you.
Oh, that's great. That was Michael Coulter. And Michael is the main man behind the Dara Hamvention. And if we can go, there we go, Hamcation. This was the biggie, and Hamcation and Dara came together. Next slide. One thing in common, they're both at fairgrounds. They both make do with tents within tents. They have great seating, great audio. Both organizations are all run by volunteers. Yes, I'm going to be at Dara Hamvention to greet all of you. And so will be a lot of others that you're going to see on scene. And we had a good get-together one evening, and over to the left is Linda, and here is Sandy, DL1 Quebec, and Tim Duffy, K3LR, DX Engineering. They'll be there. Here is the organization, Orlando Hamcation, receiving from Dara this very nice plaque. And this plaque says it all. And it says, we're volunteers. We're going to put these Hamfests together forever and ever. And as you can see, both on county fairgrounds, pretty neat facilities, and they make it happen. So I encourage all of you, let's plan to get really behind Dara, because Dara was there at Orlando. Dara gives Orlando a very nice plaque, and you know that both organizations are working together. And the real leaders are those volunteers, and Dara has hundreds of volunteers, just like the Hamcation did. So thanks to Lydia and Peter and John Knott from the Hamcation, we salute you, and we know that Dara is going to be a big convention in May, and Hamvention is going to be, just like this one, a huge success. So that's my story. We're now getting ready for the rain. So back to, let's go to Amanda and find out what's happening with our Valentine girl. Amanda?
Well, thank you, Gordo. And upcoming, we have the Lee family, but first we're going to play a video from them, and this is from Grace and Michelle working Guantanamo Bay today.
Hey, how are you? Well, hi, Keith. I didn't even recognize you.
You didn't recognize me. That just breaks my heart.
Well, I'm new to this radio thing, and I never even heard your call sign until now, as far as I know.
As far as you know, I don't believe that. But anyway, well, congratulations. I wanted to tell you congratulations on the year for getting your general class to itself.
Thank you. Mommy wants to talk to you.
Oh, Okay. Well, let me get you in the log, and then I'll get your mom out of the phone. So I got you 5-9 here at the Guantanamo Bay, and you're officially in my log. So, 73 Grayson, it's nice to talk to you. Congratulations again.
Hello, this is November 8, Zulu, Quebec Zulu. I hope you're enjoying your time down there.
Okay.
Huh? QSL. James reminded me I forgot to add my stroke AG. So November 8, Zulu, Quebec Zulu, stroke Alpha Golf. QSL, and I'm sure it's a lot of fun where you are, too. Mine's new, you know, getting on the air here, but you've been doing this a long time. I've been seeing people have been contacting you because I've seen posts on Facebook.
That surprised me. Like I said, I was up on 60 meters last night. I was up on 80 meters last night. So yeah, there's still a lot of people out there in Guantanamo Bay. So, but I've been out here most of the day, and I get up on the bay. It seems like I get out there on the wrong time, I'd say. So, it's a workout late for me, at least not for the last day or two. At nighttime is a different story, but it seems like every time I get on the band, I'll get 5 or 6 people.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I want to say before we go here that I have you at 5-9, so you can get me in the official log, and I will say that it looks to me like you're the second person ever to get the work done Lee's now. Again?
I said I consider that a privilege.
So do we.
So do we, because there are a few of us that I say all the time, we're rare DX. So yeah, you're the second person. The
I
first
think we
person
all want to work in right now.
The first person who got it has no clue, because he was from Chile and didn't have any clue that, that you know, we all got on and worked in.
Okay, well, I want to work Guantanamo Bay, too. Anyone else in the room? Anyhow, we have the Lees with us tonight. James, are you there? Hi, everyone.
Guys.
Let's go around the room and introduce yourselves. Give me your age and your name and your call sign.
Hi, I'm off camp for IPF.
Up
10 years old,
everyone's age. I'm James, WX4TV, and almost half a century.
Zachariah, WX4TVJ. I'm 14 years old and not almost half a century.
Grace came for TXT, 9 years old, no stroke AG.
Good. Oh, I thought Mommy was next. AE4FH, Faith Hannah, and I'm 12.
And I'm November 8, Zulu, Quebec Zulu, Michelle, and I am a little bit behind James.
Well, congratulations. Congratulations for all your upgrades recently. We're very proud of you all. And I love the fact that you mentioned the work all leaves. I think that should definitely be an award. So hope you guys just did Winter Field Day, last weekend, the weekend before that. How'd you guys do? And how many people did you have participating?
We had a lot of people participating. Mostly we wanted other camps that were inexperienced, so we got 2 or 3 of those actually on the air, and they had fun. And I don't know if any of them are going to get upgrades, but maybe someday we'll have some new extras that are active.
We actually got 7 people on the air who had never been on HF. One of them was a little girl who is 9 and is not a ham. The rest of them are hams who either are not upgraded yet or recently upgraded and never been on HF. So it was a really good weekend.
It sounds like it was. Now, Brian, if you want to go ahead and roll those shots. James, I stole some pictures from your Facebook page, and we'll just roll those while I'm asking you guys some questions. So you guys participated very heavily in the National Parks on the Air last year. Hope, how many activations did you guys do?
We did a lot of activations, probably a couple dozen or so. Hope, what's this picture of?
This picture is of me in California, and Teddy and I went there, and we got to get Joshua Tree on the air, November Papa 3-2. That was the designator. And we got to climb up on some boulders, use the KX3 and some party balloons with an off-center fed dipole. And though we were doing QRP, we made a few contacts.
Wow, now that's amazing. And how long did you operate for?
Most of the day, about an hour, because we still had some exploring and driving around to do with Radu Large.
Okay. And let's see. You also got to go to the Last Man Standing set. Is that correct?
Sure. Yeah, that was before Joshua Tree in California.
Okay. And how many? You made a lot of contacts there, too. We saw your video on this show. But I bet that was a lot of fun. Did you get to meet any of the actors on the set or anything?
Well, no, but Tim Allen came out. But he saw that I had a huge pileup, so he was like, I'm not going to interrupt that. I never got to meet any of them. But I didn't, so I didn't really care.
Now, that's funny. You ran the pileup instead of stopping to go meet Tim Allen?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's awesome. All right. Now, I have a couple other questions. How do you guys share your shack? I mean, do you have to make schedule times? How do you decide who gets to run HF when?
Whoever gets here first.
We're learning right now. The hardest part is changing the N3FJP software fast enough to get everybody logged. Like today, we worked the Kilo Lima 2 Yankee Victor up in Alaska, and we worked our friend Keith, KG4 Delta Yankee down in Guantanamo Bay and some other stations, and we're kind of learning. It's been so far, me and Faith Hannah and Hope getting on the air. Zechariah is an extra as well, but he likes to build. And not so much on the air, but today we've all been on the air and it's a learning experience. Probably what's going to have to happen is to get a bigger house and a second shack or something like that.
Maybe a shack and have a closet.
wait, Brandon's got
six shacks.
And we got
a big, big shack for you guys. That's going to be a lot of work. Well, I can't even imagine. I can't share the shack with me and my husband, so I don't know how you guys do it. I guess you just have to find the same contact and each hand the mic to each other to make those same contacts. So, Faith Hannah, we hear that you made the longest contact on SO50. When was that?
That was on August 7th, I think, either August 6th or August 7th. I forget which. I think it was the 7th at 6:07 a.m., and we worked WD9AWK. He drove out into the desert to get far enough away so that it would be far enough to break the distance record. But it was the SO50 distance record, and we got up at 3 a.m. the morning that we made the contact to figure out if there were any problems, and if there were, how to fix them so that we were likely to make the contact, because that was the last try we had to make the contact while we were down in Sabo, which is where we were when we made the contact. But we did figure out that we were running too much power, that the satellite wasn't receiving it, so instead of hearing our downlink, we were hearing the third harmonic. So we fixed that problem, and then we took a nap, and then got back up to work him. And near the end of the satellite pass, with the satellite below the horizon, we worked him, and we broke the SO50 distance record.
Good job. Now, that's an amazing, amazing feat, you guys. That's good job there. And one other question I have. So what else are you guys doing for this year? Are you going to Dayton? Are you guys going to be doing the youth forums?
Grace, why don't you answer that question?
Well, I'm going to be talking about solar power panels.
You're going to be talking about solar panels?
Grace is speaking at the youth forum at Dayton. We will do field day, I'm sure. We'll get out in the field with QRP or taking radios out in the field. We like to go out, and we activate the Pond Sentinel Lighthouse a lot here in Florida. Their education director invites us over quite a bit. And one of the pictures that you showed was at the lighthouse, and that was getting a little girl named, I think her name was Gracie, on ham radio, and she was very excited, and her dad said, well, I guess I know what we're spending money on for Christmas, so maybe she got her license. We like to get people on the air. We like to get new hams on the air, hams who aren't active on the air, non-hams, prospective hams. Our mission that we see is to get more kids and more families involved in ham radio.
Well, that's great that you guys are such wonderful ambassadors for the hobby. And we love enjoying watching your guys' stories online through social media. So thank you so much for sharing everything tonight. Don, did you want to jump in and say hello?
I do. I want to say hello to this is an impressive family, just let alone the fact that you're all hams. You're just very impressive individually and collectively, even without the ham radio part. And, you know, I've spent a lot of years involved with Amateur Radio Newsline and the Young Ham of the Year Award, and it's been my honor for the last several years to present that award in Huntsville. And I can almost guarantee you that I'm going to be sharing the stage with someone from your family sooner than later. So just thank you for being just the amazing family and people that you are, even without the ham radio part. But the ham radio part is just icing on the cake. So I look forward to meeting you guys at Dayton here coming up. And then one of these days, we'll see you guys in Huntsville in August. I know we will. So just thanks for being on the show. I don't really have any questions. I'm sitting here in absolute amazement. I was telling my wife tonight earlier about you guys, and I was bringing up the time when I believe it was Faith Hanna was running a contest or something by the numbers. And somebody in an odd number kept jumping in, and she basically shut him down and said, you're not getting in the log. And she goes, are you kidding me? She did that? I said, yeah, she did that. So I'm going to have to show her the video and share Ham Nation with her tonight. So I'm impressed beyond words with you guys. So that's really all I have. Thank you so much for being on here and sharing your family with us tonight here on Ham Nation.
You are welcome. Let me real quickly give Zechariah 15 seconds. I'm going to let him talk the part number. Zechariah is trying to rebuild from scratch an old Heathkit 50 megahertz RC controller, and he's looking for an IC that isn't made anymore. Zechariah, you don't need to show that. Just give your IC number. Maybe somebody out there knows which number has one of these. What's the number?
SCUS0127. Or any 0127 IC.
Basically, I
say it again. Say it again slower. Say it again slower for us.
Sierra Charlie Uniform Sierra 0127. It's a chip that I think is an A to D converter, and he's trying to build this thing from scratch, and that's the last part he needs. So he wanted to make that part. Well, he needs more parts too. But he wanted to make sure that got out, and maybe somebody out there knows where to find that part and could help him get this thing built. It's what he likes to do. He doesn't get on the air much, but he works with Arduino and building, and he's hoping to one day design airplanes, and maybe we'll be flying airplanes that he's made.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, you know, hey, listen, I'm in broadcasting, and you know, you always have to have an engineer to keep the talent on the air. So so there's a good spot for engineers, especially in your family, to keep everything working. So, okay, he's looking for an SC US 0127. So just email one of us and we'll make sure that he gets the information if you have any of that. So that's all I have. Just thank you so much for being here. Amanda, back to you.
All right. Well, thanks, the Lee gang. We loved having you on, and this won't be the last time, I guarantee it. So for now, we'll say 73.
All right, 73. We'll see you guys at Dayton, if not sooner.
All right. And I think now we have an ad to go to. Would that be ICOM?
It would be DX Engineering, our friendly folks up in Ohio. Thank you, Amanda, and thank you, Lee family, for being here. You know, I mentioned Faith Hannah and running her numbers and managing the pileup. Well, speaking of pileups, the ARRL DX CW contest and ARRL SSB DX contest are coming up. And if you need a little help with your shack, DX Engineering gear is the perfect choice. They can ensure that your name is firmly planted at the top of the contest results. Looking for a no-compromise RF amplifier for HF? ACOM. ACOM, ACOM at DX Engineering. That's all you need to know. Serious contesters have relied on cutting-edge ACOM high-performance amps for decades, and DX Engineering brings you the full line of ACOM amps and accessories, several models that cover HF and 6. You can see the detailed specs and features on each at dxengineering.com, and most of the ACOM amplifiers are in stock and ready to ship right now, and you know that famous DX Engineering shipping. I'll tell you more about that here in just a sec. Maybe it's time to upgrade your key or your paddle. Lots of options at DX Engineering. Single and dual lever paddles from Venture, Vibraplex, N3ZN, Kent, MFJ. And the DX Engineering paddle pads are an excellent accessory if you're an enthusiastic CW operator. It's like a little mouse pad, and it prevents your key from sliding around on your desk, and that gives your wrist a break. Allows your wrist to remain at a consistent, comfortable angle. They have a large pad or a small pad. Throw one in your go bag with your travel paddle. Get one of each. They're available now at dxengineering.com, and you can improve your signal and work around less than ideal antenna setups. And I think we all pretty much have that, unless you're, Tim Duffy. He has an ideal antenna setup. DX Engineering's NCC2 Receive Antenna Variable Phasing Controller, and even he has one of those. Combines DX Engineering's NCC1 phase controller and RTR1A receive antenna interface technologies all in one box. That will allow you to phase, transmit, and receive antennas more easily. It's a great feature if you've got space constraints on your property. This NCC2 unit gives you advanced, enhanced balance functionality. It increases its ability to vary the phasing between two different types of antennas, and you can expand the NCC2's versatility by using the internal slots for plug-in module versions of the DX Engineering Receiver, Guard, and RPA series preamplifier. DX Engineering has everything you need for these contests and just general rag chewing as well. And DX Engineering, of course, you know this ships faster than anybody else in the industry. If you get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern, that's an hour and 15 minutes left of that, 10 p.m. Eastern. If it's in stock, it'll be on a trek headed your way tonight. Seriously, I've heard stories. Some guy called up at just before 10 o'clock, called up DX Engineering, ordered something. 5 minutes later, forgot, had to call them back. And they said, yeah, your stuff's already on the truck, dude. They ship that fast. Proven products, expert advice, DX Engineering will help you shrink the globe. Request your catalog online. Of course, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at dxengineering.com/hamnation. And we thank them for being a part of our little ragtag group here on your internet TV, DX Engineering. Now let's take a look at the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2050, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, February 15th, 2017. We open this week's report with an update on a ham band that is still experimental, at least in the U.S. Until 630 meters becomes mainstream in the States, as it is in so many other places in the world, there are always events like the midwinter 630-meter operating activity.
Conditions on 630 meters were average, according to Fritz Rabb, W1FR, coordinator of the ARRL's 630-meter experimental group, but he told Amateur Radio Newsline that participants enjoyed the second annual midwinter activity on the band. According to a summary from John Langridge, KB5NJD, WSPR activity was at an all-time high, and there were abundant trans-Pacific openings. Canadian stations were eager participants as well on their newest band, although hams in British Columbia had complications from snow and ice conditions. A number of stations were also active using CW and JT9. Rabbit said previously that as the solar cycle has gone into decline, MF propagation has improved, especially in the paths to VK and JA. Now it is a matter of waiting. Countries permitting 630-meter band operation include Ireland, Switzerland, New Zealand, Finland, Canada, Poland, and Bulgaria. RAB said hams in the U.S. have been hoping for the FCC to permit normal operation on 472 kilohertz to 479 kilohertz since 2004. And so they are accustomed to sitting things out. We hope their patience pays off. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
The ladies of the Net Radio Club, KM6CIR, have a big day scheduled aboard a historic World War II ship.
A lot of history has sailed aboard the USS Hornet Museum ship, which now makes Alameda, California, its permanent home. The naval aircraft carrier, formerly the USS Kearsarge, was known in more recent decades for recovering the Apollo 11 astronauts following their return to Earth after the first moon landing mission in 1969. On Saturday, February 18th, the Ladies of the Net Radio Club, KM6CIR, will get closer to the ship's renowned history when they begin operating from the onboard radio station, NB6GC, beginning at 1900 UTC. The club, an informal net that meets weekday mornings on 40 meters, is based in Union City, California. The World War II ship, which was decommissioned in 1970, has been a public museum since 1998, and it became home to the USS Hornet Amateur Radio Club in 2002. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
It's not every ham club that has a historic aircraft carrier docked in the neighborhood, so some down-under hams have made do with a smaller boat. In this case, a ferry.
Ferry boats aren't exactly battleships, but a few of the ones in Sydney Harbour are going to see some competitive action soon during the Sydney Amateur Radio Ferry Contest on the 12th of March. The Waverley Amateur Radio Society, VK2BV, is hosting its second annual ferry contest, which is a VHF-UHF event utilising both simplex frequencies and repeaters. The competition invites hams to contact other hams on handheld transceivers while on any of the ferries or wharves in and around Sydney Harbour. The event takes place from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. local time, so there will be a number of honours, including the coveted Workdall Ferries Award. So if you're waiting for your ship or perhaps your ferry to come in, consider the purchase of an Opal card for $2.50, which permits a full day's travel on board. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
You know what they say, it's not the size of your boat, it's the motion of the ocean. For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, Jim Dameron, N8TMW, Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Via video tonight, but as usual, she sent me some information. And so if we can put the first slide up, Brian, I'll tell you what's going on with the solar storm and aurora outlook. She says we're expecting some fast wind from a long finger-like coronal hole to hit any time now. We might actually be seeing the beginning of its effects now. This will cause active to minor storm conditions easily through the weekend. We're grazing this fast wind, so effects will likely be sporadic, but expect the bands to be worse generally on the nighttime. Then looking at the solar flare and radiation storm outlook on the next slide, she says we're back to a nearly spotless sun, so the solar flux is dropping again. Expect conditions to remain at the low end of marginal for the next 4 days until new regions rotate into Earth view and up the flux levels for propagation. There's some good news. This issue will be compounded by the storm effects from the fast wind, so the early part of the weekend might be a bit frustrating with extra noise on the bands, but it's just something that we're used to dealing with. And, of course, I encourage you to follow her on Twitter. There is her Twitter page, and that is at Tamitha Scove. That's with an M, Tamitha, not with a B, Tabitha. That would be her evil twin. You don't want to mess with the evil twin, Tabitha. So at Tamitha Scove on Twitter. So there you go. That is your solar update and news line and pretty much everything I've got to tell you right now. We've got Dale waiting in the wings with another exciting video segment. Dale, how are you tonight?
Hey, doing pretty good, Don. Good show so far. We'll try to keep it going. Jump right in with two timely event videos. We've got coverage of Hamcation and the Winter Field Day. Kevin, KC7FPF, he's the 40-meter net control guy, covered Hamcation along with Joe, K0NEB, and Robin, G1MHU. They sent us lots of pictures and a video that Kevin put together. Kevin also sent us some captions. We're going to try to keep up with the video, and let's roll it, Brian. We'll take a look at this photo tour of Hamcation in Orlando. The Orlando Amateur Radio Club was the host. The event was at the Orange County Fairgrounds. Weather for the weekend was great. As Kevin remarked, who would not want to attend a Hamfest in Orlando in February. A lot of the vendors were there. You saw Heil Sound earlier, MFJ. You've got a ham radio outlet. You've got Tunematic. You've got diamond antennas. There's a long shot of the whole building. Radio Waves and many others were there also. Kevin ran also into many familiar faces. As with any Hamfest, proverbial swap tables were there inside and outside. There was some vintage gear as well as new gear for the sale. There was even some retired military command systems. The Deers van was on display as well. And also set up on the midway was a GOTA station operating a couple of new ICOM 7300 radios. And with the hex beam that was supplied to them by Radio Waves. Emmett from Radio Waves was at the station. He was watching Faith Hannah Lee AE4FH during the operation. As you see it next is the ICOM ECOM van. There was plenty of foot traffic throughout the weekend checking it out. There was that hex beam, the ECOM van. One of the displays that got a lot of attention was the old-time telegraph display. Inside, you saw a little bit of that on the video earlier. Amazing display and booth right there. Kit builders were not left out either. Night Flight Electronics was there on hand, was the resident kit builder, and CQ editor Joe Eisenberg. K0NEB had his camera, as you can see. And he's here a little bit later with Ham Nation 40-meter net controller Kevin Young. For the folks that still need tubes and like tubes and vintage gear, there were a lot of tubes to choose from. We had Wayne KK4BUJ from Diamond Antennas and his wife Denise with Katie Allen WY7YL in one of the shots here, along with Ruth Mosley 2E0MHU. Later on, Emmett was there with his wife Rochelle KC0YWH. They are both from Radio Waves. And ICOM was there in just a little bit here. We'll see Will. There he is, AA4WJ. He was displaying one of the latest ICOM rigs. And one of the highlights of Saturday afternoon was the Lee family. You saw them earlier here on Ham Nation. James, WX4TV, Grace, KM4TXT, and Hope, KM4IPF. We're working on one of the satellite passes. Kevin got a couple of those pictures also. They worked several passes during that afternoon. That's a quick look at Hamcation, courtesy of Kevin, Joe, and Robin. And we thank them for that detailed photo coverage. Well, let's switch gears real fast. The Winter Field Day hit the air during the last weekend in January. Vance Martin, he's in 3VEM, operated the event with his daughter from a tent in the backyard. And here's Vance's report.
Your report of Winter Field Day 2017 with N3VEM. When it came time to start setting up our backyard operation, my daughter finally got to start seeing what she has been asking about since Christmas come to fruition. We started by setting up our tent, which due to its design, the two of us can have up, staked, and guyed in under 5 minutes. With the shelter taken care of, it was time to start stringing up antennas. Even though we have plenty of trees available to us in our backyard, my daughter wanted to try setting up what we jokingly call our mast from junk, because we made it from things that we saved from the dumpster. The core piece of this mast is a telescoping pole that was recently retired from duty in a commercial building where it was used to reach things on high ceilings. Attached to this mast was two inverted V dipoles perpendicular to each other with a common feed point. This arrangement gave us 40 and 20 meters to use, and this is where all of our contacts were made. After we finished setting everything up outside and the neighborhood cat had thoroughly inspected our site, we started making contacts.
November 3, Victor Echo Mike.
November 3 and November 3, go ahead.
November 3, Victor Echo Mike.
Roger, I think I got it this way.
QSL.
I'm one Oscar.
I'm one Oscar.
Eastern Pennsylvania.
Eastern Pennsylvania.
Roger, copying one Oscar from Echo Papa Alpha. 73 is in, or you got the one host in Virginia. One host in Virginia here. 73 is a good luck.
As night began to fall, we relied on camping heaters to stay warm. Between the warmth from the heaters and the quiet hum of the generator that was not too far away, we had a very cozy and relaxing place to operate, considering temperatures outside were dropping into the 20s. In spite of the temperature outside, we continued to make contacts, even as it grew darker and colder outside our tent. My little 5-year-old helper ended up falling asleep later that evening, so I switched to digital modes to prevent interrupting her slumber. I also had a couple of involuntary cat naps myself between 1 and 5 a.m. As the sun started to rise and the air started to warm, we put out a few calls on 6 meters before trekking across the yard to the house to have a hot breakfast with the rest of our family. If you'd like to read a more detailed report of our operation or more about the projects which led to some of the equipment we used during Winter Field Day, check out www.n3vem.com. Thanks and bye for now.
And thank you, Vance, for sharing your experiences during the 2017 Winter Field Day event. Well, that's 30 for tonight's video segment. Remember, this segment's here to present your videos and your shack photos. So submit yours to Ham Nation Videos at twit.tv. And don't forget to send your shack photos to the address on the screen. George is standing by now down in Jackson with smoke and solder. But first, Don has a message from ICOM. You got it, Don.
2017 is here. Let ICOM keep the new year momentum rolling with an array of radios to help you communicate and listen all year long, no matter where the year may take you. Base stations, mobile transceivers, handhelds, and more, ICOM has all the equipment to make 2017 the best year yet. Communicate with the touch of your fingertips, perfect for small spaces. The IC7100 is the ideal D-Star option to help you communicate anywhere throughout the year. Angled control head and touchscreen for quick, intuitive operation. Large internal speaker for clear digital audio, and it's perfect for multiband and all-mode communications. Planning to be on the move this year? Back for a limited time, the IC7200 is a great option for hams wanting a rugged device to carry out into the field. Simple and tough with IFDSP, digital noise reduction, and USB port for PC control. Ideal for the ham on the go, the IC7300 is the new radio everyone's talking about. It's a high-performance, innovative HF transceiver with a compact design. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, SD memory card, and more. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Register for some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And while you're there, learn how you could win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for February, that new radio is going to be the ICOM ID51A+2 dual band dual watch VHF UHF Intel transceiver. It does analog and D-Star, has a built-in GPS receiver, DV and FM repeater list functions, independent AM FM receiver. You can download a free Android app and lots more. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. And smoke and solder this week. Well, last week we talked about soldering a little bit and about these stainless steel Mueller alligator clips that I was so proud to procure. And then I couldn't get solder to stick to them. I tried, of course, I don't use the new no-lead solder. I use leaded solder. So I tried some good old Kester rosin core solder. That wouldn't stick to it. I tried using some good rosin core flux with it. That wouldn't stick. I tried the solder that I use most often, a lead-based no-clean flux solder made by Kester. That wouldn't stick to it. I did get one of them to flow, and it stuck perfectly. And our friend Mike, VE3MIC, who's over in the chat room there, mentioned to me that he had done some stainless steel soldering before and that there was a particular solder I could get at Home Depot that would probably do the trick. So I went and bought it. It's the Burns-O-Matic Specialty Solder Kit. It's just a fair-sized tube of no-clean flux and a little, I believe it's silver solder wrapped around it. Wasn't much solder in there, and it was $6.28. So it's a little expensive for such a small amount of solder. But lo and behold, I mean, it flowed like hot butter. Better than actually I've, see rosin core solder do most of the time. So really work. Burns-O-Matic Specialty Solder Kit at Home Depot. If you need to solder some stainless steel, that's the way to go. Well, this week I've been working on some speakers. You might say this is not a ham radio related segment, but I beg to differ because the actual speaker I found that was bad first is one I used with my HF rig, but I own several of these. So, let's just take a look. If you've got a set of loudspeakers that are more than 10 years old, then there's a very good chance that tonight's segment could be of use to you. A lot of hi-fi speakers have a foam surround around the woofer that allows the cone to move freer. Now, this pair of speakers right here, actually, I have two pair of these. These came from Radio Shack. They were called the LX5s. They've got a signature linium tweeter on it. You can see it's a funny design in there. This is a ribbon tweeter, and they really sound good. Now, it's kind of a small cabinet. These work better if you've got a subwoofer with them, but I've listened to these for many of years. And like I say, I've got two pair because I found them on sale at different times at Radio Shack, and I grabbed another pair because I knew how good they sounded. The trick is that little ribbon tweeter around there allows the treble to be dispersed in all different directions from the speaker, giving you a more realistic sound. Now, these have been great. Unfortunately, I've got a little problem with them. If we pull off the grill there, you'll see that foam surround is starting to deteriorate and is pretty much destroyed. It's getting sticky. If I move the cone there, you can see how it's actually broken away from the speaker. That's a big problem because now the voice coil is not centered on the magnet in there, and so it's rubbing on the sides. Now, these are roughly 5-inch woofers. You can find other 5-inch woofers, but they're not going to be the same. On a good set of speakers, the cabinet is designed to match that woofer. If I put another one in there, there's a good chance that it's not going to sound the same. So I always prefer
to repair the speaker that I've got rather than just stick something else in there if you can't get the original. In this case, these were manufactured by Radio Shack. Some of them had an RCA logo on them, but you can't get the speakers anymore. So what I'm going to do is replace this foam surround. Now, I've done this before on my bigger home stereo speakers. This particular speaker right here I've been using with my HF rig, and it just got to where it wasn't sounding right. That's when I noticed the foam was deteriorated. So I've got two pair of these, and they were really good speakers. I don't want to throw them out. I don't want to put some other kind of woofer in there that's going to destroy the sound of them, so I'll repair these. The first thing we got to do is get the speaker out so that we can do some measuring. Now, I've taken the one out of the other cabinet. Here it is right here. The foam has already completely fell off of it. What we're going to do is take some measurements so that we can find the exact dimensions we need for a new surround. Now, you can do some searching online, and sometimes you'll find surrounds sold specifically for certain models of speakers. I couldn't find any for these. Now, you could use a ruler or whatever you wanted to do the measuring with here. I'm going to use a set of calipers that I got at Harbor Freight just because they're accurate and it makes the job a little easier. So the first thing we need to do is measure from the outside rim here. So when we put the new surround in there, we'll know that we've got one that stretches out and fills the frame. And we've got roughly 121 millimeters, which is 4.779 inches. Next, we'll want to measure from the outer edge of the surround. You can see there the surround's missing on this one, but that'll be right on the inside of the rim here. And that's about 4.3 inches. Then you need to measure on the inside rib of the surround, which is going to be the same size as the cone here. Now, these cones are not paper in these speakers. These are some type of plastic. They're in good shape. And there I've got approximately 3.5 inches. Now, there's one more measurement we're going to need. And this will also determine what kind of surround you're going to get. Some speakers come up like this at an angle, and then they go flat, and then the surround attaches to the flat part. This one is angled all the way, and the surround was attached on the back side here. I'll be lucky if I can find the exact surrounds for these speakers, but I'm going to come as close as I can. So what we need to do is measure from the inside edge of that foam. And since I can't really get my measuring instrument on the back there, and by the way, I'm not taking the cone out. I'm leaving it installed. What I'm going to do is just kind of eyeball it about where I think the foam is going to attach. And right there, I've got, roughly 3.16 inches. I did more precise measurements before this, and I printed out a template I found online and wrote my measurements on here, so I've got the exact measurements. This was an Optimus Pro LX5 speaker. I got it at Radio Shack. That doesn't really matter because I couldn't find any surrounds that, you know, were really for these speakers. And I'm always thinking that, well, if I put the foam in there, you know, maybe I'll get another somewhere between 10 and 20 years out of these speakers, and it'll be the same thing all over. So I did some searching around online, and I think I came up with a good solution. Oh, by the way, I mentioned earlier about the flat attach and the angle attach. There's a little diagram there of what that's about. I also found some really good prices on eBay, as low as like $3.50 for a pair, but they won't fit the speakers I've got. They're almost right, but one of the dimensions would be off. I kept searching, though, and I came across a place called Springfield Speaker Repair. They sell butyl rubber surrounds as well as foam surrounds. Now, that's really what I would like to use. I know it'll change the speakers a little bit. I don't think substantially, but that means that I can repair these speakers only once, and they should last many years to come. So I did some searching on there. What I needed was a 5-inch speaker, And I roughly just went through and I saw these two focal 5-inch K2 butyl rubber surround kit. They're not cheap. It's $28.95 for a pair. And I've got four of these speakers, so I'll need two pair. I went in and found the exact dimensions, and they list them right here. And lo and behold, this is the first set of replacement surrounds I found that exactly match the dimensions I had measured on my speaker. So I've ordered them. I'm waiting on them to arrive, and we'll go through the process of installing them once they get here. It's a little time-consuming. It's not something that you'll do probably at one sitting, but over a period of time, I'll eventually get these four speakers rebuilt, and you'll get to see how it's done. It's not that difficult, just time-consuming. And most of the time that you're going to spend on those, you can see I've already got them, one of them behind me here, is cleaning out and getting the old surround off of there. We'll look at that and also replacing the surrounds. And I don't know if it'll be next week, but soon, you know, because it's going to take me a little while to do this. My surrounds have arrived, though. And as I mentioned, instead of going back with foam ones, I've got some butyl rubber ones here. I'm hoping that, you know, I'll get a lot better life out of those. And it looks like they're going to fit perfectly. So we'll look at that when it happens in the future here. Well, you know, last week I asked a question. Oh, and by the way, I did want to say, I noticed even Don said he had a set of speakers that needed to be done. Don, it's worth the time and effort, and it's pretty easy once you get them cleaned up. Last week I asked a question, who invented the CRT oscilloscope? And the reason I asked that is because we were looking at a scope and spectrum analyzer, but the old CRT oscilloscope. Well, I had a winner, and it was Roxy Claus, K1AUS, and he said that it was Carl Ferdinand Braun in 1897. And that's correct, Roxy. We're going to send you this MFJ2703N. Three-position antenna switch. This is a good heavy-duty antenna switch, full legal limit on HF bands, and pretty high limits on VHF and UHF. This particular one has type-in connectors, but you can get them with SO239s as well to fit your PL259 connectors. You know, Carl Ferdinand Braun invented the CRT oscilloscope as a physics curiosity in 1897 by applying an oscillating signal to an electrically charged deflection plate and a phosphor-coated CRT. Well, it was pretty interesting, you know, what he did there. And it is also pretty interesting what they had before that, how you would be able to visually see a wave. So if you want to, you know, got some interest in that, do a little searching, and you'll come up with a good article there. I believe on Wikipedia is where I saw it. Well, now, I've got another prize. For next week, we've got something special we're going to give away that my assistant, Carol Merrill, will show you now. Don? Hello, Don.
I have the lovely item. You'll see it right here. It is the Radio Waves tape measure. And this is not just your average tape measure, because if you look here, it goes, it's, what is this, 25 feet? I don't know how long it is, but it's longer than I can reach. I don't have my glasses on, but if you see here at 19 inches, you will see quarter wave for 2 meters. And it goes, I mean, it's great for measuring wire antennas. In fact, if you had a couple of these and you wanted to make a tape measure antenna, bang, right there it is. You pull it out to right there, put your alligator clip on there, and you can make a 2-meter dipole. You could make a 2-meter Yagi. You could do all kind of things with this. But, yeah, had lunch or dinner the other night with Emmett and Rochelle from Radio Waves. They stopped by on their way home from Orlando, and we had a lovely dinner, and they gave me one of these to give away. So that will be tonight's prize. In fact, I actually have two, and I will figure out a way to give that away one of these days. Probably with Amateur Radio Newsline. But if you would like one of the Radio Waves antenna antenna tape measures. We'll throw it back to our version of Monty Hall now that Carol Merrill is done. And you tell them how they can win this lovely thing, Monty.
Nice hand modeling there, Carol. Well, win it by answering this question. What is the total calculated length for a 1/2 wavelength dipole antenna cut for 3,800 kilohertz?
I bet you could use this tape measure to figure that out, couldn't you?
Well, you could, but you'd have to win it. But if you don't think you're going to win it, well, check out radio waves and just get one yourself. Anyway, send your answer to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you might be next week's winner of that lovely antenna tape measure. Well, now I will throw it back to you, Don, because I know you've got something of interest for us as well.
I do. It's pretty nice. And, you know, if I had the we're going to talk about Casper mattresses, and they come in a box. And if you could measure the dimensions of the box before you take the Casper mattress out and then measure the dimensions of the Casper mattress itself, you would be absolutely amazed at how they get this amazing mattress in that little bitty box. So we're going to talk about Casper. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses. They cost a fraction of what you would pay in your mattress store. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing the savings directly to the consumer. Casper mattress is an obsessively engineered mattress at a very fair price. Casper is made of supportive memory foams for a sleep surface that gives you just the right sink, just the right bounce. It's breathable, sleeps cool, helps you regulate your temperature all through the night, and you are going to love the Casper mattress. The Casper mattress provides long-lasting comfort and support. You can buy it easily online. It's a neat mattress, and probably never thought of ordering a mattress through the mail, but it's amazing. You can do it. Casper understands the importance of truly trying out the mattress that in all reality you're going to spend a third of your life on, and just going to the mattress store is not going to do it. You lay down on a mattress for, what, a minute, two, three, four, if that, and you think, oh, this is nice. And you get it home and there's the box. You actually spend some time on it and you think, oh, this is horrible. Well, Mattress gives you free delivery, painless returns, and a 100-day test sleep. So you don't have to lie down in a showroom. It's like going to the airport. You got to take your shoes off. And nobody wants to take their shoes off. So, statistically, lying down on a bed in a showroom really has absolutely no correlation to whether it's going to be right for you because you're not spending enough time on it. 100 nights, that's what Casper gives you. They uphold the highest environmental protection standards. They're made in the USA. Free shipping, returns to the U.S. and to Canada. Hey, get your Casper mattress today. You can save, look at that. There it is, the Leo Laporte patented bounce test. Get your Casper mattress today. You can save an additional $50 towards your mattress by going to casper.com/hamnation. Enter the promo code HAMNATION, Casper, just like the ghost, Casper, CASPER.com/HAMNATION, promo code HAMNATION. Terms and conditions apply. You're going to love it. I promise you. Look at that happy face. Oh, my Lord. Look at that happy, happy face. Oh, man. He's a happy cat. He certainly is. There you go. Casper, go get you one today. Let's see what Amanda has got for us in the chat room. How are you, darling?
I'm doing good. I was actually, Radio is so tired. I was trying to get him to come up here. Come here. Come on. Treat. Cookie. He's just laying at my feet. Oh, wait. Here comes assistance. He wanted to say hello.
You said cookie, so, that'll do it. There he is. Get your cookie. Get your cookie, Radio. Oh, good boy. Good boy. That's a good boy.
Good boy. He's a good boy. That's a good boy. He's a heavy boy. All right, you guys, let's get to it here. My first question actually was from KK0DJ, and he was questioning about the TAC 311 net and how that worked on DMR. And the short answer is TAC 311 is one of the TAC groups. So there's several bazillion TAC groups, just like on D-Star, that you can choose from. We use 14 Charlie for the Ham Nation net, and Jeff said if he had about 10 or 15 minutes, he would explain the whole thing to everybody. So we don't have 10 or 15 minutes, but basically, if your repeater will host those, your DMR repeater, then you can use TAC 311. If you don't have that, then you can use DVAP. Or
you can listen to Brandmeister. And Brandmeister is a great place to go find some information. So Google that when you have the opportunity to. Other than that, I have one announcement, and that is the biggest, best ever Swap Fest is taking place here in Colorado at the Adams County Fairground this Sunday. So you guys, if you're in the Colorado area, be sure to join us at 9 a.m. I'll be doing the emceeing, so be announcing door prizes, greeting everybody, shouting out random things on the microphone. If you give me a microphone, I'm going to go crazy with it. So join us. Other than that, I don't have any other questions. I didn't get any. I'm not seeing any on the chat room, but I'll make the net announcements. We have the HF 40 meter net 7192. Kevin KC7 FPF will be hosting that. We have the 14 Charlie D Star net, and we have Dewdrop in for Echo Link, and not to mention the TAC 311 net on DMR. So be sure to join in wherever you can, you guys. These net controls work really hard to be here for us every week. That's what I got, Don.
I have something. It was announced via email. Tim Duffy, K3LR at DX Engineering. You know, he's a big-time organizer of Contest University. It was announced that one of the new instructors at Contest University will be our very own Dr. Tamitha Scove. She will be at Dayton. She will be teaching solar stuff at Contest University. And there is a very, very good chance that she will be a licensed radio amateur by the time she gets to Dayton. She is working on that with our good friend Gordon West. So that is my big announcement for tonight. And thanks to Emmett and Rochelle for stopping by and treating us to dinner the other night. That was awesome. And also thank you to them and Radio Waves for supplying the lovely parting gifts and prizes for tonight. So Amanda, that's all I have. That's so great. There you go. We had a great show tonight, man. The Lee family, just absolutely impressive. Great stuff from our folks who contribute to the slides and the video and Dale segment. And I'm terribly interested in this speaker reconing, or not reconing, but resurrounding, because I have some Boston Acoustic speakers that I paid a lot of money for a long time ago. Part of my first surround sound system. I had them way before Katrina, and they've been in my garage for 13 years, and the heat and the humidity and everything else in the garage has just completely trashed the foam. I went to pull them out the other day because they're little tiny bookshelf speakers, ripped, but very, very good and high quality and expensive. I was like, man, that'd be great for the ham radio in here. And then I opened it up, and I'm like, well, this ain't going to work. It was horrible. It was powder. So, George, I'm going to be following along and for sure trying to fix those. So, great show tonight. Thanks to Gordon for being here as well. George, great job. Dale, great job. Amanda, always a great job. We've had an awesome night tonight. And Brian, a great job from you too. So let's go around the horn. George, any parting thoughts tonight? And you're muted.
You're muted, George.
Well, that kind of sums up my answer too. No, I don't have any.
Well, we could have saved 30 seconds.
Yeah.
All right. Great segment tonight. I'm looking forward to the rest of the speaker stuff. Dale, anything extra from you tonight?
Not too much. We sure could use some more videos, though. If you've got one out there you'd like to send in, do send it in to Ham Nation Videos, and we'll get it on. And we're looking forward to playing around with little PSK 31 and 63 here shortly, Ben. Playing with the rig's going to be a lot of fun, I think. But that's about it, Don.
Good stuff. And, of course, I want to thank our friend Jim at Jim's Engraving. You see the call sign plaques behind all of us. And he sent me this today in the mail. You can kind of see it now. It's got the call sign and the Firebird logo and my name on there. And you can see it really good in the paperweight. And this is my new favorite glass. So, anyway, Jim from Jim's Engraving. Man, this is just amazing.
It's stunning.
Isn't it?
It is.
Chris, look at that. I mean, that's heavy. I'm blown away. I'm like a kid at Christmas. So before I sit here and gush for another 20 minutes about Jim, jimsengraving.com, go and see what he's got. He's got something that you'll love, I guarantee. We'll say for the usual suspects tonight, Bob will be back probably next week. And there you go. So we thank you for being a part of what we do here at Ham Nation. And thanks also to Ted and the folks up at WTWW for sharing the audio with their listeners tonight. And thanks for letting me be part of his team up there, too. Other great friends. Got a lot of great friends in ham radio. It's amazing how it's changed my life. Well, no, it's not. Not really amazing because you know, because you're a ham too, right? All right, let's say goodnight, Gracie, and we'll talk to you guys next week. So from all of us here at Ham Nation and at Twit, Brian, great job as usual. Put yourself in the middle real quick, Brian. Come on, you're part of the team as well. We got to get you licensed too. There he is, sitting in the dark in the corner, eating his crayons.
Yeah, me 7-3. And Alex.
7-3 from all of us, and we'll see you next week. And oh, is Alex back there too? Hello, Alex.
He ran away.
Well, good. He's outstanding in this field. Exactly where he should be. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week here on Ham Nation. Thanks.
73.
73.